Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
I don't know about you, but it's nice to come to church and get something. I mean, you're always getting something, right? But like, also to... We want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the room. Can we just stand and give all the fathers a big hand for all they do day in and day out? It's powerful. Amen. You can be seated. Let's pray before we get started. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would just touch our hearts. Let us hear what we need to hear. Open our eyes to see and what we need to see today. And thank you, God, for the journey that you have us on. Thank you for being a great father to us and loving us and giving us identity. In Jesus' name, everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Well, my name is Pastor Joshua, and this is Pastor Corinne. We're the lead pastors here at Hope United. And if it's your first time, we're happy to have you with us. We have a QR code on the screen. If you'd like to, no pressure, but you can scan that QR code and you can connect with us. We'd love to connect with you. There's just something about going on a faith journey with other people that are also excited about God and excited about growth in God. So we open that up to you. How many enjoyed worship night? So awesome, so wonderful. I forgot to say one thing after worship night, and that is we're looking for a few good singers to join the worship department. Amen. And so, yes, male singers and female singers. We're not keeping female singers out, but we're looking for some good singers. And so if you feel that that might be you, come and talk to Minister Johnny after service. We would love to hear from you.
I heard that.
I'm so excited to have my beautiful, lovely wife up here on the stage with me. Talking about one of our favorite topics in the whole world,
worship.
Yes, we're talking about worship. I didn't know you were going to hand it that quick. I'm thankful to be here. This is one of my favorite topics to talk about. I heard someone once say, a great man of God actually say, everything starts and ends with worship, and it's so true. Before us here, there was worship going on. Worship is happening right now in the heavenlies. And at the end of it all, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord, and there will be more worship. So worship is very much a part of our existence. This is what we are here for, to give God worship, give God ourselves. It's not exclusive to a specific group of people, and it is just as relevant today as it was in the time that it's been discussed in the Word. So we're going to get into it.
So 2 weeks ago, we started talking about worship. What's the point? You know, because we can come into different church environments. We can see all kinds of different expressions of worship. And we see the Bible talks a lot about worship. But if it's so important, it's important for us to get some clarity. Why do we do it? Why do we lift up our hands? Why do we sing songs? Why do we dance around? Why do people get so excited? So there's a lot of questions. And so we wanted to really bring some clarity to that. And so we're diving into part two of worship. What's the point?
I wanted to just say that worship is like a learned thing. I think sometimes we think it should come naturally to us, and it doesn't. It doesn't. We're born into this selfish world. We are very much inclined to be selfish, doing the things we want to do, the stuff that feels good to us. And worship takes selflessness. It takes sacrifice. You learn how to do it along the way, and you never really stop learning. There's levels to it, believe it or not, and as you become more seasoned, there's still other places that you can take your worship. So I want to encourage you today, wherever you are, to continue to move forward in your worship, even if you're at the beginning. And it starts with a place of surrender. It starts with a place of saying, God, I'm going to give you the best of me. And when you start there, you can go really, really far.
You know, and I think about worship. True worship takes courage. You know, it takes courage to get outside of yourself and to do something maybe that you didn't grow up doing, or to do something that you're not very familiar with. But it brings me to this this scripture in Joshua 1:9, and God is commanding Joshua because he's going into some unknown territory. Yes. So he says, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. I think sometimes we can be discouraged with lack of growth, and how we have this moment maybe that we really feel in the spirit of God, and we're really worshiping, and then we go through certain seasons where it doesn't feel quite the same, and we can get discouraged. But this command, I think, is very powerful that God gives Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's kind of really a form of worship when we are in God's presence. You know, we worship so we can be in God's presence. We worship because we're in God's presence. So God was instructing Joshua and even commanding him, be strong and courageous. And God is commanding us as well in our lives, in worship and in other areas, be strong and courageous. And I think this is where many Christians miss it, right? Mm-hmm. They understand the kindness. Yes. They understand maybe the gentleness. They're focusing on that, some of those fruits of the Spirit, self-control. But they are oftentimes aren't missing this, they're missing this point of strength and courage, right? Part of what we have to do, part of what we need to do, is be strong and courageous. Without strength and courage, we'll never take new ground.
Yes.
Look at somebody and just say that. Without strength and courage,
without strength and courage,
we can't take new ground.
We can't take new ground.
This is so important because there are things in life that we go through that require us to push in worship, to take that ground, to push in our adoration towards God. And we all start somewhere, like I said earlier. And I remember growing up in church as a kid, this was something talked about all the time. I would watch other people do it, but there was a time where I had to learn it for myself. There was a time where I had to be courageous, and I applaud the youth that push into this, because I remember being a youth not too long ago, and and it was definitely, it took courage to say, I'm not going to care what other people think, and I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to worship God because he deserves it. I'm going to worship God because he created me this way. He designed me to worship him. And so if you're doing that, I applaud you guys. It's awesome. Keep up the good work. And if you're not, decide today, hey, you know what? I want to press in closer to what God has for me. You will not be disappointed. When you press yourself in worship, there's always something beautiful that comes from it.
Absolutely. So our worship has to be strong. It has to be courageous. And that's an important part of taking new ground spiritually and in other areas in life. We talked about in part one about how David worshiped the Lord with all his might. You know, we really drilled down on that. So we know that worship needs to be strong, but it also needs to be courageous. Sometimes when we're talking to our kids, we talk about getting out of our comfort zone, right? Because it takes courage to get outside of what you're used to.
Yes, and just a little personal story, and I've told some of you this one-on-one, but I was remembering a moment in which I had to be courageous in my worship and just let go. It was a very personal time. We were dating. It was right before we got into the thick of dating, you guys already know the end of the story, but it wasn't all smooth sailing at the very beginning. We had gone on an official date. This was like so highly, there's so much pressure. We were so nervous. And it was Valentine's Day. We went on this date, and it was horrible because we were both so nervous. It was like an interrogation. He's asking me questions. I'm asking him questions about the deeper things of life. What are our expectations, our goals? Like, it was unreal. And
high pressure job interview.
Yeah. Both ways, though. That's what made it even more awkward. I'm like, man, this is intensifying so fast. And so at the end of the night, I remember leaving and thinking, I think it was okay. Like, I think this was good. And it was kind of weird. The next day was Sunday. If I could define if you looked up the word cringe in the dictionary, It was the cringiest, most awkward Sunday ever. We're worshiping together, but we're super awkward because now we've gone on this date and we don't know where we stand. And I remember talking to Pastor Sunny, like downstairs. This was at the Covenant Center, and I said to her, like, I don't know what's going on. You know, do you know if everything's okay? She's like, this is what she said. You're like, I don't know what he's doing, baby, but I'm praying. And I was like, and I was like, yes, we're all the same team. But anyway, so at that time, on that Sunday, like, we also had Revolution. We had Hour of Power. We had Revolution. So we had the prayer. We had Revolution.
So we were in church for like 17
Man,
hours.
Man, all day long. All day long. It's the end of the night. I'm driving back home. And at the time, I lived in Broward, and the church was in Dade. And I'm driving up, and it was specifically on Pine Island or Douglas. And I'll never forget, and I drive through there all the time, and I still remember the moment. I started worshiping, and I was like, God, I don't know what's going on here, because you had spoken to me that this was my husband. And it was a laying on the altar moment where I started worshiping. There was a song playing that it had become our favorite worship song after that point, but it was speaking on whatever we would do to go to the ends of the earth for the Lord. And I remember saying to myself, if it means that I have to let go of him, if he's not a part of your will for me, I'll surrender. And I was just worshiping, and I cannot describe the peace that came into the car by myself. And at that moment, I didn't have to strive. I didn't have to struggle. I just worshiped. And the exchange, it was so rewarding. And so I tell you this story to say there are moments in life where you have these turning points and these things that you face, and it's a challenge. Just like with Joshua, you're seeing that there's this obstacle in front of you. God is telling you to do something, and you're wondering, what is next? What's happening? How is this coming together? And in that moment, when you worship, when you follow his directions, he will reward you. He will bless you with everything that you need. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it's important to remember that.
I'm not going to touch on that story. That's, I don't know.
It was a happy ending.
So courage is stretching beyond your comfortable place, right?
Yes.
You have to be willing to do things in God that are beyond where you are now, beyond what you've done before. And worship is no different, right? We have to go beyond what we're personally comfortable with to discover new ground, new territory, and things that God wants to give us. Yeah. And God continues to put us, I find, in positions that we have to go beyond what we're comfortable with, right? If we want to grow, we have to be in areas of discomfort, right? And so God allows us to be uncomfortable. And in this story, God takes Joshua and the children of Israel someplace that's awesome. But to get into this new place, they have to do some uncomfortable things. They have to be stretched in some uncomfortable ways. So God gives Joshua this command, be strong and courageous.
Yeah.
I want you to think about that. Be strong and courageous. Why do we worship with all our might? Because we see the pattern that David showed us. We see the pattern that Joshua showed us. When we're strong and courageous, we're able to take new ground. So if you're coming into this and you're asking, what's the point? What's the point of all this worship? Well, one thing that we see is that when we worship, we're able to take new ground. We take new ground spiritually. We get new favor on our life to take new ground in other areas of our life. So it's very important to understand that this is something that worship unlocks. It unlocks the ability to take new territory.
Our proximity to God is so important. As we draw near to him, he draws near to us, and it affects everything in our lives. So the closer we get to him, the clearer things become. We've heard that before. But how do we get close to God? Through prayer, through fasting, through worship. The more that we get in his presence, the more that we invite him into our life. Like, I hope you hear that. The more that we worship him, the more we're saying, God, I acknowledge you. You're here. You're here with me. I acknowledge your presence, your power. And it invites him to be able to speak to you. It invites him to be able to start shifting things, just like that situation with me worshiping and then sensing his presence in the car. And I just want to say, like, you're a good, good father, okay? Because it was he had a conversation with him and said, you were both nervous. Just try it again. Go on a casual, you know, lunch, go out for, and we did that. And obviously we know where the story ends, but, you know, it happened the week right after all that. So it's like all this, there was a 2-year waiting period before that. That's what I didn't say. There was a lot that was, there was a whole waiting process. And sometimes we're waiting in the process and we're asking God, where is it? Where's the fruition? But if you stay faithful, if you stay consistent in your relationship with him, you'll see him. He's never left his people. He's never left his seed begging for bread. I'm sorry, his people. I started to go on the different version there. But he's a faithful God. He's a good God. So when you stick with him, your faithfulness, your loyalty to the Lord brings forth wonderful results.
So this is a powerful concept, right? We're talking about territory on different dimensions, right? You could be talking about something spiritually. You could be talking about something relationally. You could be talking about God giving you new territory in your career field. But worship becomes a key thing that helps us unlock new territory. And God will give you strategy to take new territory. Yeah. Look at somebody and say, God will give us strategy.
God will give us strategy
to take new territory. And so we have to pay attention to what God is speaking, because he's oftentimes giving us new strategy to take new territory. Yes, we want to win. Yes, we want to be successful. But the question is, how do I get to that place of success and victory? How does that happen? Well, I have to have a God-given strategy. Yeah. Some of us have been bumping our heads wondering, how do I get to this that God gave me this dream to do? God gave me this desire to do this, but I'm having trouble actually getting there. Well, I have to have a strategy. God will give strategies to us. And in Joshua 6, God gives Joshua a strategy. And the strategy is this. He says, walk around the city of Jericho 7 times. Each day you're going to walk around the city just 1 time. And on the 7th day, you're going to walk around the city 7 times. Then the priests are going to blow ram's horns. And then everybody is going to shout. Then what the chain reaction of that is, the walls are going to come down and you're going to be able to come in and take that territory. And so we have to understand this. God wants to give us strategies to take new territory.
And I think there's a lot to learn from that in the specifics of it. You know, God is a God who, he's in the details. He's in everything. And sometimes we overlook those things. Sometimes we think, oh, well, that doesn't matter. And when he gives us directives, when he speaks to us, it's important for us to follow those things to really see it through. And talking about strategy, there's times where the strategy is to sit tight or stand still and see the glory of God, right? We've heard that. But there's times also we see where God gives a directive. And those are the moments of obedience where action is required. So it's not enough to just say, okay, God, I know, like we sang the song, God is fighting for us. We know that, but there are moments where God is saying, you need to take action to gain ground. You need to take action through your worship. You need to take action and take this to the next level. Like, he's with us. He's ready to help us elevate, but it takes us also being active.
I think, you know, God has given us new strategies for new ground, new strategies for new victories. Think about that in your life. New strategies for new victories, for new seasons of your life. And so God wants to give those to you. And the worship looked like this. And this is a great strategy, I think, that we can apply in many ways in our lives. And here's the strategy. This is what they did. First, they walked in obedience. Mm-hmm. All right? And that's important, because sometimes you can wear yourself out. Maybe God said walk around the city once, and you're walking around it 4 or 5 times on the first day. And then you get tired, you get discouraged, and you don't walk any on the second day or the third day. Then you try to come back on the fourth day, right? And you coming in swinging hard, you walk 3 more times, but then nothing happens. And so you're discouraged. But this is why it's important. Number one, walk in obedience. Number two, that they played their instruments before the Lord. We'll get to that in a second. Third, they shouted in praise and victory. Then the walls came down and they took possession. So watch this. This was a strategy, and we can use this in our life. First, they walked in obedience. Second, they played their instruments. Third, they shouted in praise and victory. Then the walls came down and they were able to take possession. I think the problem with some Christians is they're sitting around asking God over and over to do something. They're expecting that it's always going to be 100% supernatural. Please understand this. A lot of times, and most times, God mixes the super with the natural, right? Joshua had a divine encounter with an angel. He had a divine strategy, and he had a natural implementation for that. Understand that we can't just be sitting around praying all the time expecting that God is going to do things 100% supernatural. Understand Jesus, even Jesus, sometimes he prayed, sometimes he spit in the dirt and he mixed it up with his hands. Were his hands natural? Yeah, his hands were natural. Was the dirt natural? The dirt was natural. Was the spit natural? The spit was natural. So there was a divine strategy. There was a natural implementation for the strategy. So we have to walk in obedience. Number two, we have to play our instrument. And number three, we have to shout in praise and victory. So many people aren't seeing walls come down in their life. There's some type of blockage. There's some type of delay in their purpose, delay on their blessing. They haven't seen the walls come down because there's something missing. Maybe they're walking in obedience, but they're missing that courageous shout. Maybe they're playing the instrument, but they're not walking completely in obedience. They haven't cleaned up their lifestyle. They're not doing what God told them to do. They're doing what they're doing skillfully, and maybe they have a lot of passion. They got the shout part. They got the skill part, but they're not operating in the obedience part. We have to have all three of these things. Too many Christians think that they can just take possession, watch this, without fighting a battle. If we want new ground, we have to fight new battles. New ground, new battles. And so it's important to come in there with a strategy. Too many Christians think that they can just dream, have a dream, or have a prophetic word, or have a real desire that God gives you, and that's enough. It's not. We have a responsibility on our part to walk in obedience, to do what we're gifted to do, to release the shout, and really, that's what brings the walls down. This is what causes us to take new territory.
Yes, it is. I'm so glad that you broke down this strategy like this. I think it's important we always take what we see in through these stories and parallel them to us and say, how can I apply this to us? That's practical application in our life. So, again, this whole thing took a place of action. So they did all of the things. And to unpack this a little bit, number one says, first they walked in obedience. For us, are we walking in obedience to how God said we should live? Are we walking with the last, with what he said to us, the most recent? Are we walking that out? Number two, second, they played their instruments. You know, we a lot of times we'll just look at something at face value and say, well, I don't play any music. I'm not a singer. I just come and I worship with the group. Worship is not confined to here, to this building. Worship is your lifestyle. How am I living? Is it giving glory back to God? Are the things that God has placed in my hand, my skill set, my gifts, am I using them to bring glory back to God? Am I using them to advance the kingdom? That's number two. Are we using what God put in our hand to worship him? Number three, they shouted in praise and victory. Okay, so are we celebrating? Are we thanking God in advance for the things to come? Because sometimes we're waiting for the breakthrough to then say, thank you, God, you did that for me. It's easy to worship after that. It's easy to worship and say, God, you're so awesome. You broke through for me. But it's in the moment where you haven't seen it yet. And you're saying, I'm praising you in advance. I'm giving you thanks because you said that I have the victory. You spoke to me clearly, and I know that you're with me. To thank him in advance, and it's like, it's such a seed and harvest thing. When you start praising before, you're starting to get that ground ready for a harvest. It's a beautiful thing. And the last thing, when the walls came down and they took possession, we have to ask ourselves, are we advancing? Am I taking what has now been presented? So we did the shout, we did the praising in advance, now we're seeing the breakthrough. Are we taking action? You know, when I think of a shout, when I think of praising and getting loud, I think it's aggressive. When you see people shouting, when you see people talking, you know, some languages where they're more aggressive sounding languages. Than others, because your voice is raised, or just it's just more aggressive. We have to become aggressive in the spirit. We can't always be. There are times to be. I'm very.
Praise is an aggressive language.
It is. It is. I'm a very mellow person at times and seasons. I can have my moments. I don't know. I'm all over the place. Okay. So, but in worship, I believe there's some beautiful moments of intimacy. And then there's times that I've had to fight in my worship and get aggressive and saying, I'm speaking this word over this situation. And you cannot take it laying down. You cannot take it sitting down. Like, we're warriors in the spirit, and warriors are not passive. Warriors are aggressive. So remembering you're a warrior helps you to push forward.
You know, God's blessings are there for the taking, but we have to follow his strategy. There are things that are waiting for you right now. There are things that God has already, he has in store for you. He's waiting, but you have to apply the strategy. We look into God's words to find strategies, to find principles to put to work in our life to unlock the blessing. So if you want God's victory, you have to follow God's strategy. There's always a format or a process that God will use. There's patterns, you know, and we have to move according to those patterns and processes if we want those promises. So why do we worship? One of the reasons is it causes walls to come down. Worship causes walls to come down. You know, when worship happens, delay is removed. Limitations and blockades are removed. Worship causes the devil's work to come crumbling down, right? There is power in a shout. There is power in playing before the Lord. And there is power in walking in obedience. And sometimes it's not going to make sense. I'm sure for the children of Israel, it did not make sense. The way that you normally lay a siege, you don't necessarily walk around the city. That was not a normal mode of operation for people in that time. That was not a military strategy that came from man. That was a military strategy that came from God. So sometimes it's not going to make sense. But we have to be able to walk out the strategy that God gives us, right? Walk and play, play the instrument, shout like there is. And it, when we do those three things, when we walk in obedience, when we play, and when we shout, there's a chain reaction to our praise.
So something I had written down was, a warrior is aggressive and will assert himself for the mission. To take possession of some of these things, we can't be passive in our worship or our praise, not passive in our declarations or pursuit of God's promises. When you hear the word siege, it's not something that's passive. It's something you're taking it by force. I'm coming in and I'm taking it. I'm going to do it. And, you know, I think sometimes as Christians, we can think, well, we're supposed to be nice. We're supposed to be kind. We're going to just go with the flow if God wills it. But the truth is, like, God has already spoken to us. The reason we sing and write some of these songs, not giving up, I'm not backing up, you know, we're undefeated. Like, God has designed us to win. We're using today's vernacular, but it's all in the word. He's designed us to win. He's designed us to be able to break through with our praise. He's designed us to break through with our shout, with our expectation of what's to come, with elevating our faith. And this is why it's so important that we stay connected right here, because we can rehearse the same thing even when we start to feel weary and say, is the breakthrough coming? I feel like I've been worshiping for a long time. Somebody comes up alongside you and say, hey, the breakthrough is coming. Don't lose sight of what God is doing. There's such power in community. There's such power in our worship together. It's a beautiful thing to be able to worship in your home by yourself. But let me tell you, when you come together and we are the body of Christ and we worship his name, we've had the sweetest moments in his presence where it feels like we know that he's here. And stuff starts to happen and testimonies come because we're doing it together. We're making space for him.
You know, I think sometimes we misunderstand, like, what God is saying. And that's what creates this ambiguity with Christians. It's like, I don't know if I should be standing on the word and being bold right now, or if I should be like, you know, whatever it is, you know, that moment where Mary is like, you know, whatever your will is, God, you know, so be it unto me. But there are moments for all those things, right? Ecclesiastes talk about there's a moment for every activity under the sun. And so understanding, if I'm in clear communication with the Father, it helps me understand when I'm supposed to be at peace and at rest and waiting on him, and when I'm supposed to be on the attack, right? Yes. So if I put, I'll give you an example, like a natural example. If I put a $100 bill up here on the table, everybody here is a Christian, right? Nobody's going to just come up there and take this $100 bill and put it in your pocket prayerfully, right? But if I were to say, hey, this $100 bill belongs to you, and I were to call somebody's name out, now if somebody else came up and tried to touch that $100 bill, you say, hey, that's my money. Don't mess with that. That's my money. And you would get very strong and authoritative about it, right? So it's like that. When God says, this is yours, when God says, this is your healing, yes, or this is your victory, or this is your promotion, or this is your spouse, or this is the relationship, or this is the open door, we have to learn how to be authoritative and be strong, moving towards what God has called us to do. So I think that's important. So going back to what we're talking about, our strategy today, walking in obedience, even when we fully don't understand it. Then the people blew the horn. Who blew the horn? The people that were designated. The priest who were designated blew the horn. They were in position to do it. They had the skill to do it. And then everybody shouted. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we're all created and designed to worship, right? We all have a position in worship. We all have something that we can do in worship. Maybe you can't sing on the stage, but you can make a joyful noise, right? Maybe you can't play an instrument, but you can clap your hands. There's something that you can bring to the table, right? Maybe you're not the greatest dancer, but you got your own moves. You got your own way, right? What is it that you can offer to God? There was a time when just certain people that were set aside could be priests and could blow the ram's horn, right? But now we are all God's chosen people, his holy nation. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. So now we're all qualified to hold that position. We all have a gift. Maybe you're not the ram's horn player, but you're playing something. You have a skill, and you have a position, and you have really an obligation to play that before the Lord. And it says, as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. When you play before the Lord, you are showing others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness. You're showing people how he called you out of darkness into his light. So who's blowing the ram's horn today? Every single one of us. We all have a proverbial instrument before the Lord. And you said maybe your instrument is, you know, not even something musical. It's something, you know, part of our worship is what we do Monday through Saturday, right? Outside the four walls of the church, whether we're sharing the gospel or we're doing what we've been gifted to do at our job. And so we all have a skill. But inside the house, when we come together for corporate worship, I believe we've all been skilled with something. There's something in your hand, right? That's what God said to Moses. He said, what's in your hand? Moses was making excuses, right? Well, I stutter. Well, all right, I'll let your brother go with you. Well, you know, I'm not going to really be that impressive, you know? I'm just the guy out here coming in, talking to a king. He said, well, what's in your hand? A stick. I'll anoint your stick.
Come on.
We have to walk in obedience. Yes. We have to use whatever we've got in our hands, ram's horn or not. Use whatever skill you have. And the praise that you offer, your shout is powerful. Better, you know, what we give to God with our worship, it's got to exceed what we give the sports team.
Come on.
It's got to exceed what we give celebrities. It's got to be the best and the first. That's what worship is. Otherwise, guess what? We're worshiping the celebrity. Huh. We're worshiping the sports team. If I shout louder for the Celtics.
No.
Who's the other team?
If I shout louder for whoever the singer is, whoever the actor is, guess what? That's become an idol. But if I shout loudest for God, if I give God my best, yeah, that is understanding what I'm worshiping. I give him my song, I give him my dance, I give him my hands, I give him my feet. I offer the first and the best part. That is worship. And last, we offer up the shout. When we do these things, we see walls come down and mighty, powerful victories happen in our lives.
Amen. What if the breakthrough you've been waiting for is on the other side of your worship? I think when you put things in perspective, it helps you to endure. And we've been doing this long enough where there have been different seasons. There have been some highs. There have been some lows, low lows. And even throughout all those seasons, there were times where it was mechanical. I'll be honest. It was mechanical in those moments. I'm just doing it because I know it's the right thing to do. And there's these moments where you don't necessarily feel warm and fuzzy. You don't feel, you don't see what you're wanting to see. But it doesn't take away from the fact that God deserves our worship. And that's something that comes with training your mind, training your spirit to say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. And so I want to encourage you today, no matter where you are, what season you're in, to remember God deserves your worship. He wants to have that time with you. When you're able to take action, despite what you're feeling, despite what you're seeing, it's amazing. When you've been consistent, you'll see it. You'll see it through the seasons. And that's when you can say, I can look back and see in the moments where I was dry, see in the moments where I felt at the end and God was there for me. You always come through. We have to remember there are seasons, but God is always faithful. God always deserves us to worship him. There's always a time that we can give up a shout, whether it's a shout of frustration, it's a shout of praise and say, hey, God, I'm... David poured his complaint before the Lord in his times of worship. So we can learn so much from that. Joshua being this warrior soldier that just said, yes, God, whatever you say, I'm going to do it. And he led people to freedom. He led people to a place of promise. And so we're here today to remember that we can do the same thing. God has not given these things for them just to be unattainable things that we can reflect on, historical situations. They're directly related to how we can be empowered today. It's a reminder.
I just want to pray for you today, if you will bow your heads. God, thank you for the honor, the privilege to worship you. Yeah. There is a great exchange that happens every time we worship. As we prepare the ground and we give you honor, we give you thanks, we give you our first and our best. God, you shower us with favor. You unlock the heavens. You cause walls to come down. You cause us to take new territory. So we thank you, Father, for your strategy of worship. It's powerful. It's profound. Let us continue to meditate on that this week. And unlock that truth to us that there is a point behind the worship. There's a meaning behind the worship. It's about our relationship with you. And it's about walls coming down in our lives. So we thank you for that. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus today. I've kind of drifted. I'm not where I was before. Or maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I've ever really had that relationship with Jesus that you're talking about, but I want it. I want to know Jesus. I want him in my life. I want him walking with me. I need his guidance. I need his forgiveness. We're all a mess without Jesus. So if you feel like you've drifted, this is the day to reconnect. If you've never really said yes to Jesus, he is the one that reconnects us with the true Father. He is the one who forgives sins and puts us on the right path. If either of these are you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. Amen. 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 If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say this prayer too. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your love.
Thank you for loving me.
Even when I didn't know how to love you.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
For my sins and my failures.
And my shortcomings.
Jesus, I receive your gift.
Jesus, I receive your gift
of forgiveness today.
Of forgiveness today.
I'm sorry for the times I drifted.
I'm sorry for the times I drifted.
I'm sorry for the times I sinned.
I'm sorry for the times I've sinned.
I need your help today.
I need your help today.
I need you to walk with me.
I need you to walk with me.
I need you to give me the strength.
I need you to give me the strength
and the courage.
And the courage
to live a life.
To live a life
that pleases the Father.
That pleases the Father.
Help me do that.
Help me do that.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. Wow. I'm so happy, so excited. If you took a step today, if you said yes to Jesus or you reconnected with Jesus, I'm excited for you. This is the beginning of a whole new chapter in your life. Connect with some other people that have made the same decision. There's some great people in this family. There's some great groups that you can join. You want to take what you did today and what you committed to today and attach yourself to people that are also excited about the journey. Amen?
Amen.
I want to leave you with this thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be
undefeated.
Undefeated. Have an awesome Sunday.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.